The African National Congress, once banned in South Africa, has held a near monopoly on political power there since the end of apartheid. Last week, Rhys Ehrlich began a four-part series on South Africa with a look at the dangers posed by right-wing extremists. In part two, he examines the level of support for the ANC government. While the government remains popular, critics from both the left and the right seek to capitalize on discontent bubbling up from below. Ehrlich reports from Soweto.
What is your name?
Xbosin.
And what's your name?
Pamela.
Okay, how old are you?
10 years old.
10, and how old are you?
8.
Kids play in a driveway in Soweto as their parents stay indoors to escape the midday heat. Residents here generally support the African National Congress government, as reflected in the ANC's 60% majority in national elections. Morgan Gobese, a book salesman, credits the ANC with getting rid of the hated apartheid system, and he says the government now provides some important services for free.
There's so much that has been that they've improved on. For instance, education, I would say yes to that. And also coming in to say little kids as like the first, you know, the first year scholars shouldn't pay for education, or if you're taking your young child to a clinic, you shouldn't pay for that. That was a very, very good thing, because some of the parents, they can't even afford to take their children to doctors or clinics because they cannot afford the money.
Indeed, one of the most significant reforms of the new multiracial government was to provide free medical care for pregnant mothers and children under the age of 5. Grade school education is now free. Yet massive economic problems remain. The official unemployment rate is 30%, and housing remains a big problem. The government is struggling to build new housing to replace makeshift shacks in the black townships. Gobese says these very modest two-room houses are even smaller than those built by the former whites-only ruling party.
The National Party, they built four-room houses, which I'd say that was far better than what they're doing now. The RTPs are getting smaller and smaller. So, well, to them, it's better than a shack. To me, it's like, come on, guys. We were complaining about the very match boxes here that we're living in, but now you come and say, you know, better life or better for us all, when you take somebody from a shack to another kind of a shack, you know, a brick shack this time.
Smuts Gonyama, an advisor to the president and press spokesman for the ANC, has heard the criticisms before. He notes that the ANC took power in 1994 and is trying to correct years of poverty and discrimination. Gonyama says the government is trying to provide at least some shelter for everyone.
We have to catch up by giving a basic structure to each and every family. That's why we're giving them maybe 2 bedrooms or even 1 bedroom.
Critics, even inside the ANC, complain that some political leaders and black businessmen have become fabulously wealthy, while ordinary black people face greater poverty. Lynn Abrams has been a rank-and-file ANC member for over 15 years. She recalls that the ANC's founding document, the Freedom Charter, criticizes the excesses of capitalism.
The ANC, they need to go back to the drawing board. They need to go back to the Freedom Charter. We've put our faith in the ANC, and we've put our faith in democracy and in a better life. More than 50% of South Africans don't have that better life. For example, the rich are still getting richer and the poor is getting nowhere.
Gonyama acknowledges the growth of the black bourgeoisie, but says that's inevitable in a country where black entrepreneurs were suppressed.
So you have many blacks who are multimillionaires in South Africa, and you have many blacks who are still very poor. However, the base has actually expanded of those who are haves, and it has somehow become non-racial. You have blacks and whites together now. At the same time, at the poverty levels, you have also whites who are very poor in this country, as well as blacks who are poor. The challenge of the government now is to close that gap.
But critics say the government is doing little to close the gap. They argue the ANC has given up its socialist principles in favor of the neoliberal economic model favored by the U.S. and the International Monetary Fund. Professor Albert Venter of Rand University, a political moderate, says the criticism has some validity.
The economic policy of the government is, broadly speaking, a new liberal policy engaging in worldwide trade, in other words, becoming part of globalization, deregulation of state, of the state itself, privatization of state assets, the typical so-called Washington consensus or new liberal policies.
Professor Venter says in the short run, privatizing state enterprises and lowering trade barriers has increased unemployment. Critics say such policies have doomed other African countries to perpetual poverty and instability. Smuts Gonyama bristles at the criticism.
There's nothing like neoliberalism. We are letting the state own public resources, but there are others that we believe are very, very expensive and somehow are not yielding any finances that would increase the fiscals of the country so that we're able to deliver on various other services.
Gonyama says the government will continue to run important industries such as public transport, water, and electricity. But he argues it makes no sense for the government to exclusively own the telephone company or tourist resorts.
There are many resorts that were owned by the government. We can't continue to own those, even if they are not running and profitably. That must be partnered between the state and the private sector.
I think there have been some privatizations, but from our point of view, we think that it could be speeded up quite dramatically.
Jack Bloom is a leader of the Democratic Alliance, South Africa's second largest political party, and a conservative critic of the ANC. It has a base among some white, Indian, and mixed-race South Africans. He argues that ANC policies of affirmative action for public sector jobs is also alienating whites.
If you're young and white, the impression is that you're not going to get anywhere, certainly in the civil service. The immigration of skills from South Africa is very high and it's very distressing.
But affirmative action has widespread support among the country's majority, and the conservative whites are relatively isolated. The most vocal opposition to ANC policies comes from some of the government's closest friends. The ANC is part of a three-way alliance with the South African Communist Party and COSATU, the country's trade union federation. The two smaller groups say the country's high unemployment and inflation flow from the ANC's neoliberal economic policies. But the Communist Party and COSATU don't run their own candidates for public office. Instead, they run as candidates for the ANC. Professor Venter says the left-wing groups have significant support among the poor.
They tend to support them in opinion surveys and in attitudinal surveys. But the South African Communist Party doesn't even take part in elections as the South African Communist Party. They take part in the elections as members of the ANC. You know, there's a lot of sympathy for their views, but it does not translate into electoral support.
Professor Venter and other observers note that at some point, the left wing may split off from the ANC and form its own party. ANC spokesperson Gonyama agrees that it could happen, but it's not likely in the short run. At the same time, he and other ANC leaders warn the left not to oppose the ANC leadership.
It's difficult to actually judge the future because it depends on a number of circumstances. For the near future, the ANC will actually remain quite tenacious. It will remain a very strong organization. It will remain a strong organization because there's a culture of debate within the ANC. However, we don't allow lawlessness and anarchy. So within the ANC, we allow each and every person to state their views. And once a debate is carried, then a decision is taken. It becomes a binding decision.
The dispute between the leftist and centrist wings of the ANC is reflected on the streets of the black townships. Book salesman Morgan Gobese, who supports the ANC leadership, says the party can maintain support only by delivering on its promises.
If they create jobs and people get enough, you know, medication and things like that, then I would be positive and say in the next 20 years, this country will be looking different.
Longtime ANC member Lynn Abrams, on the other hand, says some in the government and private sector are now looking out only for themselves.
They're advancing. They don't really care about other people. You know, they don't care about the better life that they promised everybody, that the Freedom Charter spoke about.
For the moment, the ANC has widespread support, both because of its history in overthrowing apartheid and because of its governing policies. But if the government doesn't resolve the problems of unemployment, housing, and crime, black South Africans may look for more radical solutions. For Common Ground, I'm Rhys Ehrlich in Soweto, South Africa.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.